Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Alpha Brain is like a brand of Adderall?
No. Alpha Brain is a drink that you can buy at, like, I get them at Sprouts. Like, you can order them online.
So it is a brand of something?
Yes, okay. But it's not a brand of Adderall. I'm saying it's like coffee. It's like coffee without, like, caffeine in it, basically.
It's like 5-hour energy.
Kind of.
And you take it's that more and for Adderall
It's
together?
More for focus. It's not like a... It doesn't
uplift you. You take both at the same time?
Yeah. I take Alpha Brain all day, every day.
Every day?
Yeah, you just buy a big pack of it. It might be just snake oil. Who knows? I heard about it on Joe Rogan, but it's along with the vitamins
Chris,
I do.
Chris listens to Joe Rogan.
I do collagen. I do all
of
that.
He believes everything Joe Rogan says.
That's not true.
As you can tell by listening to this. He just parrots Joe Rogan's speech.
Name a thing that I parrot that Joe Rogan is saying.
Just that sentence. You hear the Joe in his voice. Do you hear the Rogan in his tone? And the bass in his voice, it's all there.
He sounds crazy. I like UFC fighters, and the nigga interviews UFC fighters, bro.
He also interviews white supremacists. And Chris loves it.
Yeah, I can't get enough. It makes my day.
This is why he suggested we watch Bring It On, Fight Proud to the Finish. Boy.
First of all, no. Who's going bullshit now? Trump ass nigga over here. He is fucking creating the term fake news and then spreading it. That is rod
crooked
bullshit.
Chris.
I will
crooked
be Chris Joe here. Rogan over Trump, okay? Fuck that. You text me that shit. I'm enjoying my day, you know. Just sipping on some tea, pet my dog, doing some work, and then you go, "Hey man, let's watch this movie. Bring it on again."
Why are you setting up some like afternoon in the English countryside? Like
because
you,
I
like
was
you're
trying
writing
to,
your memoirs on Love Actually.
I was trying to.
I hope you have copies. Blast! Why didn't I make copies?
That's a really good movie. I was setting it up to be how I was disturbed by that thing that we had to watch was Bring It On. I was trying to present the most tranquil image.
Right.
Yeah. Because that shit was not. It's very racist. Anyway.
Yeah, we don't need to go back into it. If you're listening to this episode, you know our feelings on Bring It On, Fight to the Finish. And I feel like we're going to end up doing more Bring It Ons now, but I don't think anyone will be as egregious as that one.
That was ridiculous, man. Ridiculous. But, you know, sometimes you got to get a check, man.
So it's a busy-ass day for you. What are you actually working on?
I have to do my take on this project I'm doing with the homie's mom. And we're
what
basically
project?
Doing it. I don't know what we could talk about, nigga, so I'm just saying what I'm doing in the work. They're like, what?
Well, you just said doing a project with the homie's mom. That's like...
No, it's like words that have no meaning. It's a script. We're suggested to do a short story along with the script. So we're working on the short story part.
Got it.
And it's been a minute since I wrote a paper type. Because it's not technically a paper. It's like creative writing.
Why are you whispering
like
all
book,
of a sudden?
Like a book type thing. Because I'm focused up.
I'm trying
up,
to
nigga.
Listen to you and you keep going lower.
I'm focused
lower.
Up, man. I was thinking about it because I was like, I'm trying to... Make sure I'm saying all the right things before I say it. So that's on me. But
he's like sucking me in. I'm like getting closer. Like, what's happening?
That's at low speak. It was in a YouTube video. Subconsciously, I probably just pulled it up.
Fair enough.
Yeah, man. It's a lot, dog. I don't know. I just I did a pass the other day.
Yeah.
And it just took me hella long, bro. I was took
for
me
those
like
who don't
five
know,
hours.
What does a pass mean?
So I work with a writing partner, and then this is also another person's thing. So, but when Brianna and I write, we divvy up scenes. We'll write those out, and then we'll trade them, and then those are passes.
Got
so
it.
Like, you're writing a 30-page script. I might write 5 pages, then she'll go and check that 5 pages and see if she can just add to that. And if she can, tight, that'll get some more pages. And if not, she just does her 5 pages and then back and forth. And those are passes. So
right.
Every time we trade it off, it's pass. Right.
Does that mean that like every script ends up having like both voices equally by the end? Or can you like tell still like, oh, these five were her and these five were mine, like when you watch something at the end or when you read it back in the final version?
No, more so just the stories would be, you can tell who was point on what it was. Mm. Like we have things where it's like, this is clearly a story that's hers, and then there's one that's clearly a story that's mine. But because we do the past thing, like we can tell, but like if you are our friends and watched it, you would just assume it's the same.
Well, that's interesting because I listened to the Office Ladies podcast.
Yeah.
And on said podcast, they will often be like, oh, I could totally tell this was like Mike Schur's like script.
Yeah.
Or like, this joke was definitely BJ Novak's. And I'm like, I could never tell that just watching this.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But they, I guess, yeah, when you're close enough proximity, you can parse those things out.
Not even that. I get, are those, who's on that podcast? Or is it the actresses?
Yeah, it's Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsley. So basically, Pam and Angela from the show.
Okay. So what theirs was probably more of a, one, if you're acting something all the time, you start to, because the writers are in the studio and shit when you're shooting, like you know the ones that are fighting for their fucking shit. And I, especially coming from New York type shit, they probably have heard BJ Novak's like coming up with, like, did he come up with writing sketches and shit, right? So
no, his dad was actually a famous writer.
Oh, well, so. Either way, well, then they're just reading the shit enough, you know what I mean?
Right.
And like, they're divvying up individually. So a person has that, and that's more likely their shit. And then they have tendencies to, if it's their lead episode, say certain type of shit. So you can be like, it's this motherfucker more likely than that person.
Yeah, probably on top of that, they, you know, I don't know which other shows do this. I assume there are a few, but you know, there's four main characters in The Office who are lead writers on The Office. So
true.
BJ writing scenes and then also being in the acting out these scenes a lot.
Yeah,
I imagine people can even further parse those things out.
Yeah. Yeah, accurate. That's why I was asking, are they actresses or the writer? Like, if it was like Mindy Kaling or something.
Well, they'll have like Mindy Kaling on as like a guest, or they've had actually like some pretty big time guests. I guess they're all Office related, but people that come back and share like a lot of insight about how the show was written for each episode, or challenges with directing and stuff. It's actually really fucking cool.
Yeah.
I imagine as soon as I started listening to the Office Ladies podcast, I was like, oh, there's so many people out here with like pump fake ass Office podcasts that are just completely worthless now.
They have no inside information. It's just opinions.
They have nothing else to add. It's just like, wow, wasn't that crazy that this joke was there? And it just goes nowhere near as far as Office Ladies.
I actually have never understood the whole unofficial like breakdown thing of content, but then I guess that's how most things get started, right? They're unofficial until somebody co-ops it. But
why do we have to, every single time we record,
I have no idea. I was about like to ask
guy
that,
has
dog.
To bring a leaf blower every fucking time. That noise you're hearing is a guy with a leaf blower right outside my window just blowing leaves.
Right, it times out literally every time. Exact same thing happened. And it was a different time last time.
Yeah, it was a different day of week, like, different time of day. It doesn't matter. Like, we're just
this is cursed, bro.
Guy shows up 10 minutes in, right as we're getting to the good shit.
I feel like this is a bit, bro. Like, he must live next door, and he's just like, ah, I know what this means.
They're recording. Yeah, I bet my landlord, who's a fucking crazy person, I bet she's like, oh, they're recording. They get loud. I'll call the leaf blower guy now. And this would be a perfect time for him to drown out these loud-ass black motherfuckers.
I mean, that would be a straight-up sitcom-level evil plot if that was actually what she was doing.
But I could see it. I could see it. What sucks is that I have to close all the windows, as Chris just saw me do. And then it gets fucking hot in here. So I have to choose, like, noise or goddamn heat. This is some bullshit.
Black man America, bro. You got to compromise. You can't have it all.
Well, back to The Office. This is this week we're doing sports in The Office. Oh my god, I gotta close another window. Hold on.
So loud. He literally has all of the windows open.
They're blowing from multiple directions.
They're now inside in the pool area. They were just outside. Like, near the street. They're blowing the leaves in the pool. Like, what the fuck are they
from doing? Two directions. I have two different windows with two leaf blowers. Well, if you already tuned out of this episode, I get why. It's a lot of leaf blowing.
It's loud.
If you're still here, we're talking about sports on The Office. Because I realize there's hella different sports episodes covering a wide range of sports. And because it's a comedy, it's always immediately funny or ridiculous how they choose to portray these sports. So you watch the ones we did. Because I was able to identify seven episodes and one leaf blower. I was able to identify seven episodes that were full of sports stuff. And so today we're going to look at The Deposition. He's so close to my ear. I cannot take this at all. Nothing has ever been worse.
I was going to say, bro, he's literally right up on this the wall, dog.
This is oppressive. This is racism.
This is. I feel like, you know what? Now I'm seeing him coming this close to your shit that it has to be the landlady.
Where is he blowing leaves to? You got to blow them away from the building, not at my window.
Nah, man. It's literally just a
goddamn
fucking
Homo sapiens.
Fucking stupid.
So The Deposition, Dream Team, Company Picnic, and Job Fair all have sports. In order, Deposition has ping pong, Dream Team has soccer, Company Picnic has volleyball, and Job Fair has golf. Is there one that you want to just jump into right that just struck you?
I didn't do the ping pong one. Uh-oh. I did volleyball, soccer, and
golf. Job Fair. All right, so... Well, which one, I assume you want to start with soccer since that's your shit. And because that's the brother Idris Elba.
I was going to say, aside from all the British shit, which is tight, that episode, like, didn't. The other ones literally had the sport. Like all the soccer that happened in that episode was that Idris goes, oh, yeah, the German Olympics, I was there for that. And he beams fucking Shorty in the fucking face.
Yeah, but
aggressively.
It's the B story of that episode because the Dream Team is really about Michael. He's quit Dunder Mifflin / kind of been fired, and he's putting together a team with Pam, Ryan.
What's the any guy's name?
Fuck, I forget his name. Like Dinesh? No, I feel like it's racist that I guess that. He's putting together a team to like have a competing paper company. So that's the A story. So the soccer is the B story, but they don't play a lot of it. They spend more time talking about it.
I understand that. So I understand it's the B story, but in the other two where it is also the B story, they are actively
But they do play soccer.
I guess a little bit. I just thought it just opens itself up for so much humor of Dwight trying to play soccer. But the way he played it is more like the character Dwight, and that like he's setting up Jim by even having them play it.
Yes.
I respect all those moves and I understand it, yes. But I'm saying I would just have preferred if
you wanted to see Dwight actually play the thing.
I just thought it would be funny.
I think that in all the sports episodes, I believe the only one that you see Dwight really play. Like, he's in the basketball episode, but he doesn't really do much.
Yeah.
But he's in the ping pong episode, he gets loose.
That makes sense.
But you didn't watch that episode, you're saying.
I did not.
So we'll stick with the other three then for today. Because there's seven or eight of these, so it's going to be a two-part thing. So, again, there wasn't a lot of playing of the soccer, so that's what really bothered you about this episode.
That's what really grinded my gears. Really grinded. but all the rest of it was pretty funny. I think the kiss-assness
I'll reframe that bitch-assness.
also works, which just, but it was like, mwah. Nah. I was like, that was spot on right there. I was like, I've seen some of that there bullshit, and it sounds just like it.
Well, I've never been in an office setting at all, so I've seen assistant coaches maybe kiss up to like head coaches.
It's different, bro.
But I've never seen it like this.
Fam, bro, like working, a production office is an office, bro. It's just the rules are a little bit more hectic, you know, or something like that. But like a production office for a TV show is just an office. You're rolling calls, you're doing emails, you're printing shit, you're scheduling stuff.
Yeah.
And it's all people who are trying to get up like anybody else in Hollywood, but in an office space. So right. It's just double aggravating, dog. Like, they're just like, oh, what's up, boss? How you doing? No. Oh. How about that Lakers game? It's like, hey, Chris, you tall and black. Sports. I don't know about fucking rugby guy. I didn't watch the football game last night because these are my teams. Like, stop forcing me to have this conversation.
So, in your experience, does the kiss-assness work?
I mean, sometimes for some people, but then there are bosses who are real ones who are just like, I need you to chill, dude. Calm down. Like, I don't even like that shit. Well, like,
so, in Idris Elba, his character seems very no-nonsense, but then his, like, weakness, I guess... This is Charles Minor is the character's name, is not just in this episode, but in the episode where David Wallace comes to town, he becomes the biggest kiss ass there is, and he loves people kissing his ass.
Yeah, he's a corporate man.
But he's so anti all the bullshit until kiss assing comes into play. And he's like, ooh, I'll bite.
That's their dig at corporate, because corporate people be like that, bro. They be like, nah, fuck all that. Oh, hold up. Climbing the ladder up. See, look, this sounds real hateful for some artists. Type niggas, but like, I did the jobs. I can say this because I've seen it. And that is how corporate niggas usually are, because that's how you gotta succeed.
Is this how you were?
No, not at all. That's why I didn't last long. That's why I didn't last long.
I don't know anybody that admits that.
I didn't last long at it, so clearly I didn't do it right. First of
all, you gotta parse through Chris's lies. He said that he didn't bring it on. And now he's saying
get the fuck out of here.
He did not kiss ass at his office.
Oh, I wish you could show. I wish this was a visual podcast so that I could show the screen the text message to watch that garbage. I may lie sometimes, but not all the time, okay? And now is one of those not all the time times. So fuck that and fuck you, sir. Fuck out of here.
So in the episode, what you get is Andy.
Oh wait, no. Wait.
Okay, what?
On the kiss asses thing, the one before the last production job I did.
Kiss some ass.
This fucking dude had his nose so far up this woman's ass. I don't know how he was fucking surviving, bro. I was like, dude, you gotta stop.
He got a lot of juice on his lips then.
Bro, oh,
Just the way, anatomically, it's what happens.
All right. If this was 20 years ago, the tangent that I would go into would work, but I'm not going to do it now. But he would be such an asshole, do his job poorly as fuck in the office, and then just... think he was Big King Dingling, but whenever she walked in, he'd be like, oh, yes, sir. Oh, what can I do for you? Oh, your son's so funny. He's Mexican. His Jimbo voice is just because he was cool. But like, still, dog, it was just so ridiculous to me. And I was just like, if that's what you got to do, bro, I guess I'm fucked. Because I was like, I can't do that. Like, can I just do my job well? Like, do I have to do all of that shit? Like, if that's the requirement, I'm fucked. Like,
yeah.
And it's just, it blows my mind. And it's always made me upset. But
I mean, I guess that's like in the office, I guess, when you look at Andy and Dwight, the entirety of the show, they are kissing ass. Yeah. Like, this is the one time Dwight doesn't kiss ass because he only kisses the ass of Michael, really. But
that's because it was just Michael. It made it seem like that's just their weird bromance. So it's a little less aggravating as it is with Ed Helms' character, which makes my fucking spine shake. I just like everything he does. I'm like, oh, like in the golf one, he did Dartmouth. We're not going to hear it, but the Dartmouth thing, I was like, oh my Jesus Christ.
Well, we'll get to that. This soccer episode, the soccer part, Andy has like a soccer screensaver on his computer, and during work hours, he's not using his computer long enough for the screensaver to come up that he has put there, and he's never done this. He hasn't had a screensaver the entirety of the show, except for when Charles Miners was there. And then he's just sitting back with his hands behind his head, like lounging in his chair, just watching his own screensaver.
He was chilling.
When Charles walks up, he's like, oh, I got a soccer fan in the house. He's like, oh, what? I didn't expect you to see this.
I have also never seen anyone doing work in the office. I thought that was like a part of, I just thought that was like a running gag. I don't think I have ever seen anyone other than Pam do work at the office. They'll like stand by the things, you know what I mean? Like, and just be in the general area of where work would be happening, but I don't ever see them do it. Like, it, what's the workaholics? They do work in workaholics. Like, they're still like typing away at the computer,
right?
Or like actually making copies. These motherfuckers always just sitting there fucking with each other and staring at the screen, bro.
They do hella work on The Office. The issue is, especially the first seven seasons, 60% of the scenes involve Michael Scott, who is not doing work at The Office.
That's what I'm saying.
There's a whole episode about him wasting time where Pam has to track what he does, but he still closes the sale at the end of the episode. Bruh. I think then you have the next people get the most shine are all the salespeople, and so their work is like making a call. It's not necessarily ever typing in anything. And there's many episodes where they're on the phone and he's like, "So I'm making a sale. Can you leave me alone?"
Yeah.
And then next is accounting. It's like Pam at the front desk. You see, because that's the nature of her job, is she's always writing stuff down or taking calls. Accounting, I feel like, is always writing something down, especially Angela. But then you get to like Creed, Mindy Kaling's character. I don't know why I'm blinking on her name. You know who does the most work probably in the whole office is Toby. Goddamn human resources. Yeah, he's always fucking working.
He does do a lot of work. That's a good point. But whatever. No. Because look, I watched... What was the last one I watched? The one that was 28 was... not soccer... Volleyball one, where they have, yeah. The next episode is literally talking about how Michael made a fucking whole chicken pot pie and that they moved all the clocks up to 5 o'clock so that they could all leave at fucking noon. So I was like, it just reinforced it after I was like, no, none of these niggas do nothing. And then you fast forward and the whole thing is about, let's get out of here at 11.
I will say that the theme is the less work Michael does, the less work anyone else does, the entirety of the show. That's true.
Okay.
So Andy sits there and puts the background up. And Jim, who has been abstaining from trying to impress Charles, out of nowhere says, like, I don't watch soccer. And Charles is like, oh, really? And he's like, because I'm more of a player. And that's how this scene gets set up. Or the game gets set up because Dwight calls him out. And it's like, really? Because you never, ever, ever talk about it. And he's like, well. And then he's like, why don't you guys play after work? Which is insane because in that scene, everyone's wearing full suits and work shoes. No one changes any bit of clothing to play soccer with no goals, as far as I can see. Even Charles, because he kicks the... First of all, what is Idris Elba doing? He's showing off his dribbling skills in his full suit. But then he tries to launch a ball at what? If Phyllis wasn't there, would have just hit that black truck.
That was going to be my question after we talked about Phyllis getting decked in the face. Because the follow-up to that was, gosh, Jim, as a seasoned soccer player, why would you duck at the last minute? I was like, because Idris just launched that ball at his face. Like, yeah. I was like, he would have got hit in the face the same.
I wrote that note down too. Like, why is Jim the one at fault here? If nothing blocked that ball, it would have gone 150 yards.
For no reason, like, to literally nothing. There's no net nothing. Setup. There's like, nothing. Is the car the goal? Because you just go fuck up that person's car?
He's going to break the window of that car.
100%. Because he's kicked it like somebody who is British and has played soccer. So he put some strength behind that
thing. I feel
like
he like toe punted it too. It didn't even feel like a technical good kick. He just like straight up Rod Benson fourth grade kickball style. Trying to launch it into the moon.
Used to love kickball. That's a league that should be done. That seems fun.
You're not going to like kickball leagues. Damn. For the same reason I don't like kickball leagues.
Is it too serious?
I don't mind the seriousness of it because it's not as serious as like softball is. But the more serious the league is, the more you see one thing. Bunting.
Ugh.
The person playing third base has to start beyond like the line that connects an invisible line that connects third base and the pitcher's area because it's not really a mound. And then if you just literally just tap a bunt, just the shape of the ball, it's impossible to throw somebody out. Yeah. So you'll get like 35 bunts in a row And I'm like, is this what you guys paid for? I paid for this goddamn
leave. That's so stupid.
This is what we're doing. You got dressed. You told your friends, like, oh, I'm busy tonight. I got bunting to do. And I just like, I fucking hated it.
That's weakness. That's no. No, the whole point of kickball is to launch that bitch.
Yeah, like, try to fucking mark it.
That's the whole game. It's a giant slow rolling ball. Let me kick it as hard as I can.
Dudes be out here like 6'5", 220, like.
That's. Judge. I would walk off. I would throw my. If there's no helmet, whatever we have, I'm throwing it at that person and I'm walking off. That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, but this is. I played 3 seasons of kickball and then I had to move on. I really wanted to love it, but the bunting, man.
That's also not surprising though, because that football league was the same shit. It's just like, bro, why are you all doing a physical activity if you're just gonna be fucking assholes about it? Like, the whole point is to be playing a game.
Like, yeah, well, what I don't like about a lot of rec sports, I would say basketball is really excluded from this. But as we played, now I've now done softball. A lot of these things being co-ed, by the way. I've now done softball, football, kickball, and basketball. And the other three, not basketball, all have rules in place designed to, like, level the field.
Which ruins the whole game.
In a way that's like, what is the point of competition then?
Yes.
If it's all like, then it becomes who can exploit these rules the most.
100%.
And not who's the best at the thing.
Which is the dumbest thing I've ever fucking heard. It's like, so why are we doing this activity?
So for those
after
of you who
second
didn't play,
football game, I was pissed.
We played co-ed flag football, and it was not football.
A ridiculous activity.
I don't
activity.
Know what it was. You had 3 downs to get 20 yards. The field width, I felt like, was always changing. The referees seemed to never know what they were doing. And every 3 downs, there had to be it was called gender, where, like, everyone basically had to take a seat except for the quarterback, one defensive player who wasn't allowed to rush. So what's, like...
Why are they there?
And then 3-on-3 women, with now the field way more wide open because it's a 3-on-3.
Like, mad disrespectful in its own way, but okay.
Yeah, so if there's one girl just one step faster than another girl, it's instant touchdown. So we would lose basically because on gender plays, the other team would get a touchdown basically every time. And then the rest of the game, we would still do all right, but there'd be so many, like, you couldn't possibly fumble. Like, it's not legal if the ball falls, it's just dead. But you could still lateral. See, the other teams would run all these, like, fucking crazy lateral plays and shit that weren't, again, not football. I don't even know what it is. But if we, like, defended it and it was a fumble, it just counted as nothing. So I started to really be like, bro, what are we even doing this for?
This is literally
the most pointless thing. This is not called football. It needs to be called some other name called bitch ass ball.
It's not even 7-on-7. It's literally just fucking, it was a waste of time. I was like, this is so fucking stupid. Whatever.
It was stupid.
It was so aggravating.
As stupid as Charles trying to punt a ball in a 20-yard long office.
At a car and or two other people's faces.
All right, we could move on to the...
He would be good at kickball.
Let's do the job fair. That's the golf one. Because, obviously, you know, I'd be out here golfing.
Obviously.
Immediately, Andy says, I hit 1,200 balls yesterday to prepare.
Bonkers.
And I'm like, bro, how many buckets is that? I think a large bucket has like 80 balls in it or something.
I thought it was 100. I was going to say, that's bonkers.
Let's round it up to 100. 12 large buckets in a day is insanity.
Fuck the splinters on his hands, bro. How is his shoulder, his hip? That shit, I hurt my body when he said he did 1,200, bro.
No, I think that the accuracy there is actually pretty right on, which is that the hands actually take most of the, especially if you don't know what you're doing and your grip is weird or you're like an amateur, that's where you're going to feel all the brunt of it. When I first started really picking up and went to the driving range for the first time, my hands were pretty fucked. And that was with one large bucket that I like really couldn't get through. But the rest of my body was fine. But my hands literally didn't heal for like 2 weeks. How is this guy hitting 1,200 fucking balls the night before? And as far as I can tell, he still didn't play well. It didn't, like, lead to anything. He just fucking did that and fucked his hands up, and it looked garbage.
You know how? Because he was focused on kiss-assing at the utmost degree. And when you kiss-ass that hard, you sacrifice yourself because you already sacrificed your self-worth. And so what he give a fuck for? Because he gave up and did that so long, terrible fucking Dartmouth joke that I feel like, let me not shade. I got two friends from Dartmouth. They're not that crazy, but I feel like they would do that.
You take that shirt off right now, or I'll take it off for you. My grandfather would be spinning in his urn if he knew I was playing with a Dartmouth boy today. Spinning in his urn. I love that fucking line, by the way.
Let me pivot it up a little bit. Ed Helms is a real good actor, though. Don't get it wrong. But that character, because he's a good actor, is fucking heinous. I can't stand it. But they did do what everybody says golf is for, but not really on the golf course. Business deals. And I love, what's his name? What's the fat guy's name? He's looking Kevin my favorite Malone. Character.
I don't know his real name. Kevin Malone in the show, though.
Kevin Malone is low-key my favorite next to Stanley. He's like, I'm going to turn this petty cash into next month's rent. And I was like, go ahead, kid, get that money.
And he named a bunch of games that I'd never heard
of. That was going to be my next question. What are any of those things and are they real?
I'm familiar with Skins. And I'm familiar with Bingo, Bango, Bongo.
Run us through them.
And only Bingo, Bango, Bongo by name and not what it is. I just remember it from like playing Tiger Woods golf on PlayStation years ago.
Yeah.
Skins is basically just like each hole, there's like a winner.
Okay.
So, and then if everyone ties, then it pushes in the next hole, whoever wins that gets two.
Okay.
So it's an easy way to like make a game for money and make it easier to keep it close. Because if you just do strokes for like $100 at the end of the day, if I beat you by one, I win 100.
Yeah.
But if I beat you by 20, I win 100. Yeah. But if we do hole by hole, maybe I have two lucky holes and I win a couple back.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And the strokes don't matter at the end. So the rest of these, I try to write them down. I feel like a couple were made up at the end.
Aces?
Yeah, he says Skins, AC Deucey, Bingo Bingo Bongo, Sandy's, Barkies, Artie's, Wolf. I have no idea what Barkies, Artie's, Wolf, or Sandy's are. Okay. I mean, I also don't know what AC Deucey is, but it sounds like legitimate. It
sounds real.
Sounds like a real thing, but I have no idea. No one's ever mentioned any of these games to me.
Is there a golf terms glossary?
I'm sure you can Google it. I'm sure you just Google, was Kevin saying that real shit?
I'm Googling exactly that.
Was Kevin saying that real
Kevin
shit?
Kevin saying that
real shit. What comes up when you Google, was Kevin saying that real shit?
Real shit. Not at an office, just was Kevin saying that real shit. 100 best real shit images of 2020.
Nice.
Real shit feeling saturated.
Okay.
Shit Kevin has said, YouTube clip.
Click on that. What is that?
I'm about to pull it up. And then a bunch of Kevin Gates stuff. Oh, wow. This is just a random Korean dude.
Some Korean guy named Kevin?
Yeah. It's literally just a Korean name named Kevin.
What? Okay, it's a very pretty looking Korean dude. Much like a K-pop looking star. Just saying words.
Yeah, it was creepy.
And it had 150,000 views.
Absurd.
How, you know how much work I put into videos to have 1/20th of that? It's just some kid saying words. Not even special words, just regular words. I don't understand.
You need that fucking Korean industrial complex behind
Holy
you, bro.
Holy moly.
That shit... That is the truest thing ever, though. When you put a lot of work into something and then somebody was just like, fuck it. And it just knocks the bitch out the park. And you're like, God damn it, bro.
Bro, I've done that to myself before, which is when I was really doing videos. And anyone here who remembers this, we're talking like 2008 when I was with Yahoo. I mean, I put in work on Boom Goddamn Dose, which did slap. Got like 40,000 views. Boom Goddamn 3, not quite as great, but still went pretty hard. Boom No Girl 1, Boom No Girl 2, the Rock Band, all of these got around 10 to 30,000 views. And then I was in Vegas for the Summer League, and this dude was at this bar, and he was like surrounded by women. And it was like it was like at Ghost Bar or something, so it was like very empty, because Ghost Bar, especially back then, like the Palms built all this shit that became irrelevant very fast.
Yeah.
As everyone else built up and made some shit that was nicer.
Yeah.
So Ghost Bar was like empty except for this one guy and like eight girls around him. And me and my homie were like, what is happening over here? And we walk over and this guy's doing this thing where he puts like 3/4 on top of a dollar bill on top of a beer bottle. And he's like he's, or I put $100 on under this. He's like, yeah, any of you ladies who can get the $100 bill out without touching the quarters can have it. Or without knocking the quarters over. And of course, nobody could do it. But I just, I remember seeing the look in their eyes and I was like, this guy's really got a fucking gimmick here. I mean, I'm like 22. I'm like, bro, I still don't really know how to get laid. This gimmick appears to be working. So he does it. He basically just licks his finger and just smacks the bill like as hard as he can. And it just slides right out, like almost like pulling the tablecloth off of a table thing.
Yeah.
And so I asked him how he did it, and he told me. And then I went home and went back to the hotel room and practiced it. And just immediately uploaded a video. And it's like, it's the most misogynistic video I have online probably. It's like, all you have to say to these bitches is try to get the dollar out, and they won't do it. And you'll just be getting fucked, man. You'll just get fucked. 1 million goddamn views in 2 days. Oh my fucking God. It was picked up by like all the worst outlets, like The Chive and all these things.
Yeah, obviously, like, bro. Like, what are you talking about? Say, all you say is, all you gotta do to get these bitches.
Bro, life is a learning process. Young me had to learn some things.
Nigga, did you have a pickup artist book, bro? No.
But I was fascinated by that show. I really was. Mystery? What the fuck is Mystery's his name? What is this guy?
Why was that nigga dressed like a Marky Ben Chris Angel, bro?
Yes, he dressed like a magician, which ties it all together. Magic works.
Oh, my God. It's funny that that dude years later was like, you know what? All of this misogyny and like playing is just not cool. Like the real way to do it is get a partner. I was like,
he must have got married, and then exactly. She was like, yeah, go back, edit exactly. What you did. Said,
hold up, brother. Oh, that's so funny.
Anyways, Okay. So the part that stood out, two parts stood out to me the most in the golf course, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. Dude taking 6 shots to get out of the bunker.
Bruh. He gave it to him. He said, bro, just pick it up.
You can take the triple bogey. But if you've golfed, you've probably been there. But what happens more likely than taking 6 shots to get out, unless it's like a super stiff, I'm sorry, like a super like steep bunker that has like a like kind of like a cliffy wall in front of it. Most people just, they can't get it out, and then they end up hitting it like 80 yards too far.
Yeah.
Very rarely do you see someone just miss it 6 times. Yeah.
That's, I was like, bro, it's not even moving. Like, you're hitting to the left.
At the very like, and even when it does take 5-6 times, it's usually because, it's so steep that they hit it up and it catches the top lip and rolls back down.
Yeah.
This guy was just missing the ball 6 just times.
Hitting dirt, bro.
What are we doing?
He's not good. Pick it up.
He's not good. If you're that bad, why do you come out and say, let me make this interesting, $10 a hole? That sounds like you're wasting your own money. He was down $230 at the end to Kevin.
Hey, you acting like he said, but he didn't even have to pay it. He said, put it on my tab.
Yeah, because we're going to pay this again, my friend.
You, that's a finesse. Keep
coming out here and taking L's?
But hey, there are dudes that do that, man. The fucking golf course my dad used to go to, there was a guy who was just straight up a gambling addict, and golf was his gambling, bro. He was just, the thing is, he was nice.
Michael Jordan was at your dad's golf place? That's fucking crazy. I heard he's a terrible leader.
Petty ass. Now, I wish we had sound effects so I could give you a petty sound effect. God damn it. But, wow. No, this dude's name was Jeff, and he was short, but he was mad nice. He was a white guy. He was mad nice, though, but he would always overbet. He got too confident, and then he would be lit, and then, like, put a 20 grand on a bet.
20 grand? Holy shit. Okay. That's a lot. Yeah. Jeff was rich. I did play golf a couple weeks ago with a guy named Mitch Burrow, who you do know. Mm-hmm. He's a comedian.
We got to get him on here so we can talk about this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And beat the shit out of this dude, dog. But I told him, like, I'm not great. I shoot mid-90s. I've literally never broken 90. And he's like, all right, bet. Like, what do you want to pay? Like, 500 on it, 1,000? And I was like, what? Because he wanted a painting of mine if he won. And I was like, bro, you're doing the most. Like, I saved him a lot of money because I was like, I'm not going to beat you at golf and take 1,000 of your dollars. Also, if you do get one of my paintings, it costs more than that. Yeah, surprise, motherfuckers. My paintings go for enough to get me my rent paid. Not just coming over here asking for cheap-ass paintings. I hate when people do that. $200, that's too high. I'm giving you a fucking deal, best friend. Fuck you.
Niggas don't got money like that, bro.
Tell them, think art is.
Tell them this ain't that cheap shit, bro. Go to Target, nigga.
Get some Pam Beasley motel art if that's what you're looking
for. Real facts. Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you. A lot of niggas will ask for free shit, and it's like, well, hold up, bro. Like, this is a lot of time invested in
my
this.
My shit is very labor intensive. But yeah, so Mitch wanted to bet for that. So we settled on $100, or I'd make him like a very small original painting, because at least I can then have more to put on my portfolio. It never came to that. He didn't want to play a skins game either. He wanted to play straight up strokes.
Yeah.
So if he had done that, it might have been closer. But as it was, I won by like 10 strokes.
Damn.
And then I told his wife, who works at the Comedy Store,
no.
I blasted it over the PA.
I was about to say, yeah. You did more than just his wife. You told everybody who was listening.
And then she texted him like, this motherfucker talking shit about your golf game. And he came right down to the Comedy Store and had words. It was amazing. That's how it's done.
It had to be a great feeling, though, just to blast him, have your wife be like, hey, man, you got to come defend your own honor, bro, because you get roasted. Yeah.
She's pregnant, and I was like, you need to teach your son better habits than your goddamn husband, because he's out here losing college fund money.
I'm not about to drag this man. I know. I really want to hear his argument for this, because he has the perfect accent to argue against you too. Be like, look, okay, all right.
He's like the least racist person with the deepest accent I've ever heard. The most
southern accent I've ever heard.
There's no way that accent isn't racist. He's saying like very progressive shit, like, yeah, women should have the right to have agency over their bodies, and I'm like, this doesn't make sense. I don't understand. You're not supposed to say shit like this.
That's not your dialogue. You speak like that. That has to be so aggravating for them, bro. But it's like, hey, man, it's not my fault. It's American history's propaganda, dog. You know, that accent is synonymous with bad things for people who look like me.
So Jim shoots a 102.
Yeah.
At the end, which is, it's not bad. But it's, again, it makes me wonder, what did Kevin shoot? Because he got everyone money. Jim owed him $120 at the end of the day. So that means Kevin won at least 12 holes.
I think Kevin probably got 90, because I feel like if he was that much of an addict, he has to be lower. And then he was probably just taking time off because everybody else was trash.
Yeah, I think he got lower than 90. The way he was taught, like, 90 is pretty much an average score, I would say.
I know. I was saying that he's taking it off.
Like, yeah.
He's playing bums.
But I guess, what I mean is that, like, for him to be that confident in the beginning without having seen any of these other guys play golf and say, I'm going to turn this petty cash to next month's rent, it says two things. One thing that Carl fucking hates about golf, is that the least athletic motherfuckers are good at it.
Yeah.
And Kevin is the fat guy on the office who's terrible at it. Looks like he can't really do anything. And here he is taking everyone's money on the golf course.
That's how that guy was I was talking about too, Jeff.
Jeff?
Yeah.
He was just a fat little...
Short, fat dude. He was like 5'8", chubby as hell, big beer gut. Crack that boy, bro. It's the first time I see somebody hit a golf ball. I was like, wow, that's impressive. I was like, that's ridiculous, bro. And he just did it like clockwork, just... Bink, 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 bink. I was like, no, bro, I don't have the patience to have that muscle memory. I was like, because that's what that is. That's ridiculous.
You can do it. You can do it.
Yeah, but what's
just being big, you naturally could hit the ball pretty far. I mean, but there'll be tiny little Filipino kids like the ones I played with the other day who are like 14 who will out-hit you because they know the mechanics tigers of the fucking shit better.
Hey, man, it'd be like that. Same thing with throwing a baseball. Like, 50 Cent can't throw that bitch for shit. Like, he's strong as fuck.
I can't throw a baseball fast, and I don't know why. And I used to be a pitcher as a kid, and I just don't. My arm motion is just too inefficient. I just can't do it. Yeah. I can hit the fuck out of a volleyball.
It also doesn't
make
sense.
I can't throw a baseball fast.
It would make sense, like, that you should just, off how long your arms are, be able to sling that bitch. Like,
I don't think I can throw faster than like 70.
Hey, man.
I mean, unless these things are a lie, like they have, like in Korea, they have all the like baseball, like kind of like games. Yeah. I don't even know what to call them, but like the one, obviously the one that everyone does is like the fast pitch one.
Yeah.
And I can't get above 70. And I'm like, this doesn't make sense. I'm a powerful ass dude.
All forms of throwing is technique, bro. How strong you are isn't really the thing.
I think my arm motion is just like too whippy or something. As a kid, as a pitcher, it really helped me because it was like confusing. It almost looked like I was told by a coach that my elbow started up first, so it looked like I was about to throw then, and then I whipped my arm back.
Yeah.
And so then it just like threw people off. Threw
timing off.
Yeah. But it's like Little League where it's easy to throw people. Once I got to like Junior League, yeah. people were just teeing off on me.
It was like, all right, cool, bro. It's like, all right, cool, dude. Nah! We're out of here. Yeah, I feel like if a coach really taught you like fire technique just off of having an arm that long, like I doubt you have a long career in baseball, but like you slinging that boy, bro.
Fair enough.
Like, yeah, but. That was the football challenge. Like when at practice, everybody would get on their knees and try to throw it as far as they could so you don't have any extra like gather jump in.
Yeah.
And just the dudes who played quarterback at any level were always the ones who could do it because everybody else is just trying to muscle that bitch and it's just a shot put at that point.
That's Kyle Bowler. That's how Kyle Bowler was the quarterback at Cal my freshman year. And the whole hype was that he could throw a football. By the way, the year before I got to Cal, they were like 1-10. Okay, so there's no reason for a quarterback of a 1-10 college team to be on anybody's draft radar.
Yeah.
So when they said that we have a potential number one pick, I was like, I don't know how that's possible.
Houseway.
The next year we went like 7-6 or something, 6-5, because we won like the worst bowl game there was, whatever one that you get to if you're just 500. And then they're like, yeah, Kyle Bowler projected first round pick. And I was like, this doesn't make any goddamn sense. Well, the thing is, he could sit on the 50-yard line on his knees and throw the ball through the uprights. And that's all the NFL cared about. Like, you're in.
So that's a bomb. Okay. You're in. We'll figure everything else out. Yes. We'll figure everything else out. Just do that. Yeah, I mean.
Which is insane because you like the way they value first round picks in football, to just take a flyer on some guy who that's all he's ever shown he could do sounds insane to me. It's like taking a first round pick on a guy in the NBA because he's got the highest vert they've ever measured, but literally can't dribble.
That's not the same. Because you can
he didn't have good numbers.
I'm saying, but you can get that quarterback to do something. Like, that's not a first team quarterback. Like, that you just want, that's the best case number two option. Like,
right, you but can you just use a first round pick that. On him. That's what I'm saying. If you're picking that guy
that
with the
2003 draft, who's in the 2003 draft?
I don't know. Oh. Some ballers, I bet. Probably like Charles Woodson or some shit. I don't know. He's a little older than that. But yeah, I don't think that makes you a first-round pick. That's all I'm saying. With nothing else ever showing. And I don't think his career was decent for a couple years, but he never lived up to being more than what he already showed he was. It wasn't like rocket science with him. With Aaron Rodgers, it was the exact opposite. This motherfucker showed it every week. Completed 23 straight passes at number 2 USC. I was at that game. It was fucking legendary. And people were like, oh, I'm starting to believe this guy is the truth. And they were drafted. Aaron Rodgers was drafted later than Kyle Bowler was.
Actually, yeah, this was a dumb move on their part. There were some dogs.
Yes. It's insanity.
But hey, that's the Ravens go Raven, man. I don't know.
Ravens are usually good at selecting.
They
want to
do what they want to do, bro.
Ravens have had excellent use of their draft picks throughout the years.
I don't know. I would disagree with this draft of Kyle Palmer, number 19.
What number
right
did Kyle
after Troy
Palmer
go? 19.
19. And Aaron Rodgers went like 24 or something, which was the next Cal quarterback selected. So just to say, one guy showed he could do all the things in college and went late 20s, mid-20s. Another guy showed nothing in college other than, hey, watch me do this trick. They're like, ooh, we like that trick. We love what you're doing, sir. Now that's Mitch Burrow. We love your football game, boy.
Oh, my God.
We won.
Oh, my goodness. Niggas are so grumpy. I don't understand all this Mitch Burrow hate, bro.
Oh, I'm not hating on Mitch Burrow. It's just his voice. It's such a specifically Southern voice that you never, if you live in L.A., especially like Hollywood area, you never hear someone with an accent. Never. It's like they're not allowed here. Not enough country music for them or something. I don't know.
It changes. I mean, I have a homie. His boyfriend. Well, I guess his boyfriend is also my homie from Mississippi. But I guess, yeah, he has the gay on top of the Mississippi. But the Mississippi comes out sometimes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I have a friend named Brad, and he's from Alabama. He went to Auburn, and he has an accent. But I think at this point, Brad was the only one. But Brad's accent almost feels like more comical now. Like, I feel like he can turn it off, but like the hoes in his life be loving it, and he's like, he's got like a lot of muscles and shit, so I feel like for him it's like putting on like a country thing. Like, he's
it is a part of his image.
Yes.
Like, he is that,
you know. Brad,
yes.
Yeah. But Mitch, it's not. It's just authentic. This is just. He's just got that thick ass accent.
Mitch also has the benefit of like. I think that's good in comedy, dog. Like switch it up, be something different. It makes the delivery funnier.
I 100% agree. It's part of what like almost everything Mitch says is funny.
Yeah,
because he just delivers it with his regular voice.
Exactly. Like, the cadence, everything is like that's just funny. He's got that Theo Von, except he's not. You know, bugging on that snuff.
Yeah, he's better than Theo Von. All right, we can move on to Company Picnic.
Yes.
What do you have to say about Company Picnic?
Liked it. Big fan of it.
Really? It's one of my least favorite episodes of The Office.
Really?
Yeah.
So there are two things in it where I was like, this is funny as hell. That terrible improv, or I guess it was play that they wrote. Because it just reminded me of every shitty improv scene ever, and I just laughed.
They're basically doing two prov, yes. And they're jumping between scenes.
He like jumps. He can't
stand. If you watch Company Picnic and you've never heard of two prov, which is probably, if it's done right, it's one of the funniest versions of improv because it's
the hardest.
It's very difficult, and it's like you get a lot of brownie points for playing like and remembering six characters at once. They're doing it, and no one's laughing there, but I think if they did do that on stage, people would be like, wow, this is incredible. But everyone in that space is like a fucking hater, so.
I don't know. I just, maybe it was the silence and the cringe of it, but I just, it was, it brought up so many things for me that are funny about like when people have the stereotype that they have about improv. Mm. You know what I mean? Of like. It's just like when you're a comedian and you see another comedian, like you know both of them are good at that. Like you said, it is impressive they're doing it, but it's still like, ha.
Yeah, I don't disagree. If I'm being technical about it, their space work, their fucking like use of props, like the way she holds like the fake taser in like the proper way, like all the people care about this shit. Yeah. Like if in improv, if you hold a phone up, like. You at home, hold a phone up to your head with your hand. I bet you did like your pinky down and your thumb up. This is not kosher in improv. They're like, ugh. Hey, those at home, hold a gun up with your hand. I bet you did pointer finger out, three fingers paced back at you and your thumb up. That's not allowed in improv. You have to do like, I'm holding a gun where like there's like a space in between your fingers and your pointer finger's like on a trigger that's not there. If you're doing a phone, you have to hold like, mimic like you're holding, like literally holding your phone.
Yeah.
And that's how you have to do it. Not this like, hey, I'm like, work for AT&T version. They did all that right. And it's like, these motherfuckers at the Company Picnic were not accepting of how well they were doing this.
I love when people do something well and they fucking still bomb. It's funny, dog.
Every time you sat back down, you remember to like keep it like, it was just like everything. I was like, wow.
Actually, I was like, God damn. I was like, that's rough. And then they fucking dropped the, why would you mention the closing? That guy gets so many good lines. The fucking dude who chews them out, the guy with the glasses.
Oh, David Wallace.
David Wallace gets so many fucking funny lines, bro. And that was a perfect sew up of that scene right there.
But he also, again, I don't know why people, like, a lot happens in the show where people blame the usual suspects. But David Wallace, it's your goddamn fault. Why did you tell one branch manager that the other
specifically that branch manager, yeah,
especially Michael Scott, of all people, he's on record in a deposition saying Michael Scott is not that dude. Then you're like, "Hey, Mike, here's a big secret. Now get up on stage. You're the fucking idiot here."
Yeah, I mean that's why it was funny. It's like, bro, what? And also, I like that was the most competitive everybody was. In that episode.
Right.
As far as like, I was in the mind of like, we're watching these sports episodes. And I was like, oh yeah, this is sports. Like going back to the fucking intramural football and kickball, that shit is fucking goofy. Yeah. And so then when Bam was like, I also think it's mad funny whenever there's a person, because there's always a person like that. When Bam was like, I may have played a little bit of volleyball in middle school.
In high school.
In college.
Volleyball camp most summers. Like, I do these things for Wave TV, as you know.
Yeah.
And yesterday I went in and I had to record this thing like top 10. Oh, it's like a mock draft, which neither me nor Josiah wrote. So I don't know who wrote it, which is an important note because I don't even really agree with the order, but we did it. Whatever. Got paid. Ha ha. But I'm reading the script off a prompter, and then whoever wrote this put the word like yo in a lot. Like, you won't believe this guy's draft position, yo. And I couldn't get the, I'm like, bro, whoever wrote this was not white. A black person.
They were white.
Because I cannot, I have trouble reading this out loud.
I don't know why you would have been like, yo, the fact that this is not coming comfortably means that a black person write it, and I'm not saying this part.
I said it out loud. I was like, okay, I'm sorry. I'm just having real trouble with this yo. And the guy's like, okay, you could just forget the yo. And it was like, it's still there in the prompter. It's like fucking difficult. But I'm like, this is not. So yeah, whoever wrote Pam's line and went to volleyball camp most summers. No. With like, make sure you don't see ER. It's got to be MMAS.
No, I wasn't the specifics of that, but that is also hilarious. Good nigga joke there.
Ooh, she says summers. She's racist.
But that person who is always mad quiet, who just turns it on at the office things, is always so entertaining to me. Because that used to happen all the time, because they would always have like softball things, you know what I mean? And shit like that for the office, like rap event. And there's always that person who knows any shit who's just like, Meek! Yeah, motherfucker! Dropping a bat, doing a flip off his shit. And I'm like, whoa! I was like, yo, you think about this all year long. Relax, Trish. They're like, I would like make a play that was athletic and the next play fuck something up just because I don't know the fundamentals of baseball. They're like, how are you doing? I was like, because literally I don't play this sport, nigga, and I'm just athletic.
When we get to the basketball episode of The Office, you'll really feel that. You'll really feel what you just said. But as it stands, yeah, I played volleyball. I hate the volleyball scene. It's like half the time they like hit it over after one hit.
Yeah, they don't.
Everybody's technique is fucking crazy.
It's real bad.
Even Pam, who they set up to be some like legend.
Her hit weak as shit, by the way.
They show her take like a full windup, but then they don't show connection with the ball, of course. Yeah. But it like her angle of attack is like straight into the net.
Do you remember when she, I think that one, when it goes straight to the net, is when she was like, yes, let's go. Like right after they just got a point. And then she goes and does like a full volleyball thing. And I've seen many a volleyball thing. And I was like, oh, she's throwing like that. She about to drill this bitch. And she went, and it went like barely right over the net. I was like, well, then don't do all that shit before. Just be mad competitive.
I also, it must be said, Jim and Dwight are both like 6'5".
Yeah.
Okay. And there's this one scene where Jim gets set and just spikes it straight down. I'm like, these are your go-to guys. These guys 100%. Are respecting the game way more than your 5'3" receptionist ever will.
And then with like Idris blocked it back, like barely even jumping, I was like, Jim, look how high you are, bro. Yes. Like
all of you guys are towering above this game.
Like, jump higher, bro. Like
Jim is an excellent basketball player.
He just put his arm up like this. He didn't even jump over the net. I was like, fam, jump a little bit.
I have problems with this. I understand what they're trying to do. I just don't like it. It's not... The worse that the competition is, the more that shit like height fucking dominates the room. Like, they don't have to do anything to be the best in the room.
But Jim's whole thing is, whatever, dude. Like,
but he which wasn't is why he's low-key dude.
Mad aggravating.
He got real competitive. He was, I mean, once Pam turned it on, he was like, oh shit, okay, we out here. And he's the one, because she gets hurt, he's like, I'll drive her to the hospital real quick and come back.
Yeah, true.
Like, he's like leading that charge.
Yeah. I don't know then. He has no excuse.
He has no goddamn excuse.
He just didn't show up. Some people just not built like that.
Okay, one of my favorite jokes in the whole show, The Office, at any season,
damn,
is in this episode, though. Just a quick hit, because at the time I was rocking these.
Okay.
He's like, sir, are you blind? Because he's trying to come at Aaron, who's on his team, but he likes Aaron. And then he's like, sir. He like looks right past her, and he goes, these are expensive Ray-Bans, asshole. No. I love that line so much.
Yo, I remember that
people had
too.
To tell I was wearing the real Ray-Bans back in those days. I'm like, these aren't the fucking knockoffs. These are $110. These are expensive Ray-Bans, asshole.
Yo, that joke low-key hit real hard for the same reason. I was like, oof. Oof. Because at first, your reaction is like, get the fuck. And then he said Ray-Bans, and I was like, ah. I've said that.
when so Wayfarers were like, yeah, hot in these
yeah,
streets.
When it was like everybody, it was like the right after the Kanye fucking thing, and then everybody would just have the Hot Topic draws. I was like, nah, nigga, hold up, nigga, give me my credit, nigga. Look at the words in the corner.
The manic nature of Chris's eyes right now. I can't compute.
Hey, I don't know. I haven't cared about anything else after that. I was like, it's all a lie.
No, I love that. I love that joke. And then I wrote something else down.
That shit was mad funny.
What's his name? When so Dwight's boy,
loved who they that. Met hilarious. Because
Dwight was at a shoe store and he heard this guy asking for a shoe that could increase his speed and not leave any tracks. This guy's somehow shit. Team captain. I'm like, what? No one at the office knows you.
That was my. I was like, did he come in another episode? And I just don't remember him.
He's
that was
in that question. No other episodes. Just this.
That dude's a pretty big British actor. Maybe that's why they gave it to him.
Is he British?
Yeah.
Okay, because he doesn't have the accent in the show, so I didn't know that. What is he in Britain?
Helly shows, bro. He does like In-Betweeners. He does
some more
deep cut shits than that.
I'm sure if he's on In-Betweeners now, look for him. But this guy has the best lines. Some of the best insults in the whole
he was
show.
Coming with the heat, bro. Yeah, my favorite one. He's like, what was the recipe or an equation?
The equation. He says, what is one fiance plus one lover equal? Answer, one whore.
Yes. That shit made me go, ha, ha.
But he also goes, so like the Dunder Mifflin, the Scranton team does a play well against the corporate team, and this same guy goes, they're going to wipe your asses with your serves and piss all over your faces. I was like, what is happening? This guy's not a part of the company. Someone should kick this man out of the building.
You can't always come with the heat, bro. Sometimes you get fucked up. What's the company? Wait a minute. So he actually was just a stranger
to everybody except Dwight, and then Dwight never came back.
And it was just,
and he was like, he had a clipboard, and he was running like the substitutions. Angela tries to sub in, and he's like, and he sends in Meredith instead, and she goes like, "Hello, did you hear me?" And he goes, "I don't hear cheaters, tramps, or women who break my friend's heart." It's like, sorry, guy, who are you? Does anybody here know you?
He's a fucking hero. That's
why are you running the substitutions? I don't understand.
That is a wild fucking move, and I did not even realize that. For some reason, my brain was just like, yeah, okay, whatever. Just another weird person in that office. Wow, that nigga did not work there. Oh, he's a voice in Adventure Bros.
Okay.
He's a bunch of movies. I'm trying to find the exact British one I was thinking of. Anyway, whatever. I'll find it and bring it up later. Yeah, man, The Office, I'm excited to do these because I don't have such an encyclopedic knowledge of The Office like you do. So,
Office is my jam. I mean, we're at about an hour. We can wrap up this because this is going to be a two-parter, so it's not going to be any fancy ending here because I knew there's no way we could get through those four, and then also we still have... And these are the funnier episodes, too, especially now that we're lumping ping pong into this. Basketball, The Fight, Fun Run, and The Deposition. The Deposition being ping pong. The other ones all have like the sport in their name.
Yeah.
So there's going to be way more of the thing in these four.
Good. I know, because Fun Run is burned into my mind, and that one will never not be funny. Parkour! And then I'm running across the cars. I love that fucking episode so much.
Shit, Chris is fired parkour. Up like never before.
Parkour.
So we'll break here and we'll get the those other four episodes in for part two of Office Sports.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel. And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.